Dinosaurs, The Knowledge, by Martin Oliver. That's how you achieve Rex. Read by Vienna Vance. Introduction. Dinosaurs are decidedly dead. In fact, you can't get much deader than dinosaurs. They've been extinct so long, but they're even deader than dodos. I've been extinct longer than you. But even though dinosaurs died out millions of years ago, interest in them is still very much alive and kicking. So why are people still interested in them? After all, there's nothing as daring as yesterday's news. There are plenty of reasons why people get bitten by the dinosaur bug. Some get hooked when they discover the dinosaurs came in the most amazing sizes. After all, at 6... Tyrannosaurus Rex was the largest meat-eating animal ever to trample the earth, while at over 15 milliliters high. When it raised its snake-like neck, the plant-eating Supersaurus could have looked through the window of a fifth-story building, if it existed at the time. I'll lick your windows clean for a fiver. Another reason for dinomania is that they also came in the most incredible shapes. Try to imagine the weirdest-looking alien you can, then think of Triceratops. In a spot the strangest creature competition, Triceratops would win hands, feet, and triple horns down. Weirdo. Other people become dinosaur crazy because they find a fossil, while yet others want to study dinosaurs and solve the greatest mystery of all, why they became extinct. Imagine the thrill of actually discovering a dinosaur, and it's just the beginning. Then there's the excitement of trying to fit the pieces together, working out what sort of dinosaur it was and how it lived. With so much to learn about dinosaurs, there's plenty of room for argument. And the people who argue about dinosaurs for a living are called paleontologists, the name given to anyone who studies fossils. Paleontologists are a mixture of explorer, scientist, and detective, and while this may sound very exciting, some of the tongue-twisting, brain-straining words they use often aren't. Most paleontologists are experts in both geology, the study of rocks where dinosaur fossils are found, and zoology, the study of the bones and behavior of modern animals, and sometimes you almost need an ology of your own to understand what they're on about. Observe this classic example of carnivorous quadruped Panthera leo of the family Felidae. Meaning, this lion, belonging to the cat families, is a typical four-legged meat-eater. Panthera leo displays stalking techniques typical of a predatory animal when spotting its prey. It ignores a small grazing herbivore to follow a biped from the Homo sapiens species. Meaning, the lion hunts by stalking its prey. It ignores a small plant-eater to follow a two-legged human being. Upon observing the incisors perfectly formed for their function of cutting through flesh and the stamps indicating readiness to pounce, the Homo sapien decides to employ his locomotive skills. Meaning, having seen the lion's sharp, flesh-cutting teeth and realizing that it is about to jump, I decide to run! However, so long as you're not put off by some of the longest words in the English language, you'll discover some of the longest, tallest, and strangest animals that ever left on the earth. Enter the mind-boggling world of dead dinosaurs and discover some of the most amazing animals ever existed. A world of unsolved mysteries of life, death, and everything in between. Be prepared to find out about dinosaur disasters, dinosaur diets, and even rotten relics like dinosaur dung. Try to make your own mind up about whether dinosaurs were warm-blooded, if they were the predators of modern-day birds. You could put Tyrannosaurus Rex on trial, be a dinosaur detective, test your friends with our dead dinosaur quizzes, and be astonished by our dead amazing facts. Whatever you discover about dinosaurs, it's sure to be dead interesting, dead exciting, and dead cool. But one thing it will never be is deadly dull. In the beginning, the first dinosaur discovery. So how were the dinosaurs rediscovered? Who brought them back to life millions of years after their extinction? To discover the answers, we need to go back to the sleepy Sussex countryside of England in 1822. King George the VI was on the throne, and only 9 years earlier, the explorer Johann Burckhardt had sailed down the Nile to introduce Europe to the wonders of the Egyptian pharaohs. However, the peace and quiet of that spring day in 1822 was about to be shattered by the discovery of something even more amazing and far far older. After 65 million years, the world of the dinosaurs was about to come to light. Dr. Gideon Mantell was preparing to make a call on a sick patient with his wife, Mary. The sun was shining down as the couple left their house in Lewes and made their way along the rough track to Cuckfield. Mary admired the view of the fields, but her husband seemed quiet and preoccupied. "Are you thinking about the book?" she asked. Dr. Manta nodded. The fossils of the South Downs was his pride and joy. He'd always been fascinated by fossils. And over the years, he built up a large collection of them. It had long been his ambition to write a book about them, and they'd finally finished it. It had taken him longer than he'd expected, and it was just as well that Mary had been happy to help him prepare the illustrations for it. It had better do well, he thought to himself. He hadn't told Mary that he'd been spending so much time on his fossil collections that his practice was beginning to suffer. The doctor kept his worries to himself, and soon they found themselves outside the patient's house. "Won't you come in with me?" Dr. Manta asked on the doorstep. "I shouldn't be too long." Mary shook her head. "I think I'll go for a walk. It's a shame to be cooped up indoors during this weather. Don't worry, I'll be back soon." She waved goodbye, then headed off. Brisk steps took her out of the village, and once she was in the country, she took some deep breaths of fresh air. The hot sun slowed her pace, and she began humming a tune as she strode on down the road. After a few hundred meters, Mary turned a corner and found her way blocked by a group of workmen repairing the surface of the road. They smiled and stopped working for a few moments as she picked her way past them. And the piles of stones heaped up by the roadside. Mary was about to continue when something caught her eye. What was that? There was something unusual about some of the stones to her left. It was the way they caught the light. They were shiny and a strange shape. "I'd better take a closer look," she thought, bending down to sort through them. "I'm sure these are fossils," she muttered, "but they're unlike any I've seen before. We certainly didn't include any of these in Gideon's book." She would ask her husband about them. Mary gathered up the strange fossils and, her heart beating with excitement, headed back towards the patient's house. As she reached the gate, she saw her husband waiting. Dr. Mantle spotted his wife rushing towards him. "Hello there, Mary. What's wrong? Has something happened?" "I'm fine," she replied, "but I found something I thought you'd be interested in." "Look," Mary showed her husband the strange fossils. "I found them by the road back there. They were in a pile of stones. I think they're fossils, but I've never seen any like them before." "Well, hand them over and we'll soon see what they are," Dr. Mantis said confidently, taking the rocks into his hands for a closer look. His expression changed to puzzlement, and then excitement as he examined them. "You're absolutely right, my dear. What a find. I've no idea what they are. Where did you come across them?" Mary explained where she'd seen them, and they immediately set off for the site. On the way, the doctor couldn't stop looking at the strange rocks, cupping them in his hands and holding them up to the light. What creature had they come from? He couldn't think of any that would solve the mystery. Soon the couple found themselves near the piles of stones around the workmen. "Excuse me," the doctor said. "Can I speak to you for a man?" A large man appeared, wiping the sweat from his brow.
"Hi, sir. That's me. What can I do for you?" "Well, I was wondering where these rocks came from. Did you dig them up from the road, or have you had them delivered?" The ferryman scratched his head. "Well, sir, they come from hereabouts. We got them
from the sandstone quarry nearby, and we've had no complaints about them either." "I'm sure you haven't. That's wonderful." "Thank you. Do you think you could direct us to this quarry?" After noting the directions, the Mantas headed off towards the quarry. A plan was already forming in Dr. Manta's mind, and he now shared it with his wife. "When we get to the quarry, I'll ask them to look out for any other unusual pieces of rock. If we do come across any more fossils, then I'll take them to some experts I've read about. I have a feeling that we're on the verge of something big. You know, I think this could be the best day of our lives." The first part of Dr. Manta's plan worked. Another fossilized specimen was discovered in the quarry. But what happened next? Dr. Manta showed the fossils to the experts of the day, claiming that they belonged to a giant species of anima that had become extinct. However, no one believed him, and as a result, Dr. Manta gave up his interest in fossils and concentrated on medicine. His discovery only came to light years later when the fossils were discovered among the rest of his collection.
"Stuff nonsense." Bee, the experts refused to believe the doctor's theory, but Manta didn't give up. Eventually, having identified the fossils as resembling the teeth of a type of lizard called an iguana, he made his findings public. This didn't lead to fame and fortune, though. Manta's wife left him, and he was forced to sell off his fossil collection to avoid bankruptcy. See, the experts were impressed by the fossils that Dr. Manta had produced, and after a high-profile conference, they identified them as the remains of a giant iguana. Dr. Manta was hailed at public meetings as a genius, and he soon became extremely rich. He gave up medicine and devoted the rest of his life to studying fossils. Hurrah! Good show! Answer B. Despite the expert's disbelief, Dr. Manto continued to research the newfound fossils. A chance encounter with an expert on iguanas at the museum at the Royal College of Surgeons led to him to realize that his fossils resembled iguana teeth, although they were much larger than any previously found. This new proof led to Manto's theory being accepted. In 1825, he made a public announcement describing his finding of a new reptile of huge size. He called his discovery an iguanodon because of its link with the iguana teeth. Manto became more and more obsessed with fossils and eventually died a lonely recluse 30 years after that spring day in 1822. Did you know Dr. Gideon Manto has gone down in history as the first person to discover the dinosaurs, but he didn't name them? That honor fell to the famous British scientist, Sir Richard Owen, when he made a speech on Friday, 30th, July, 1831. By this time, so many fossilized remains had been unearthed that Owen proposed that an extinct group of reptiles had walked the earth millions of years before humankind. He called these animals dinosaurs, from the Greek dinos, meaning terebra, and saurus, meaning lizard. The first paleontologists. Although it was Dr. Manto's interest in fossils that led him to discover iguanodons' existence, he wasn't the first paleontologist. 11 years before Dr. Manto's discovery, Mary Anning, the 11-year-old daughter of a Lyme Regis shopkeeper, discovered the skeleton of an ichthyosaurus, a large marine animal from the Jurassic period. Oh, what big teeth you have! Mary Anning's spectacular find was just one of the things that made paleontology increasingly popular. As more people took up fossil hunting, more fossils came to light, and people began to ask questions such as, how old are they? And why don't they look like any other animals we know? Did you know one of the earliest mentions of fossils dates from the 7th century, when fossil ammonites, common prehistoric shellfish, were discovered in Whitby, Yorkshire? They were known as snake stones because of their coiled shape. The first problems. Nowadays, if you've got a question about dinosaurs or life on Earth, you'll find shelves filled with books about these subjects. But if you wanted any answers back in the early 1800s, there was only one book to read, the Bible. At this time, the Christian church was the most powerful force in Europe, and most people believed exactly what the Bible said. According to the Bible, God created heaven and earth and all the living things on it in 6 days, before having a well-deserved day off on Sunday. Unfortunately, human beings weren't very grateful for God's hard work, and they began misbehaving. To punish them, God made a huge flood which washed everything away except for Noah, his family, and the animals on the ark. When the flood waters receded, Noah landed his ark, and all the people and animals on Earth today are descended from Noah's passengers. Sorry, mate. Fill up. People have believed this version of events for many hundreds of years, and some still do. But when geologists began to look at the Earth and its fossils in more detail, they came up with their own theories. The church wasn't exactly pleased when some people began to question its teaching. This is only natural, since no one likes being told they're wrong. Just try it on your teacher. Where are you going, Perkins? The lesson doesn't end for another 20 minutes. You may believe that, but according to my new theory of time, it's just finished. As a result, battle lines were drawn up between the scientists and the church. It's simple. God created the Earth. You find that its surface and all the natural formations of it were formed by the aftermath of the catastrophic flood. Charles Lyell, 1797 to 1895, argued against these ideas in 1831. My observations prove that natural processes have shaped the earth over millions of years. The wind wears away mountains, valleys are eroded by rivers, volcanoes erupt and create larger volcanoes. Tides and waves erode cups and change the shoreline. As a result, I conclude there was no flood and the earth was much older than previously thought. As new theories about the creation of the Earth took hold, paleontologists also began to question the church's explanation of where the fossilized remains of these unusual animals came from. It's simple, they are the remains of monsters that were washed away in the Great Flood. But what if there was no flood? What if they are the remains of animals that lived millions of years ago? What if they are the ancestors of animals alive today? These questions were to spark some of the greatest scientific minds of the time into action. Scientists compared the fossilized bones with those of known animals and came up with ideas to explain the differences. After a few fresh starts, they came up with one theory that was close to the mark. Jean-Baptiste de Monet, Chevalier de Lamarck, 1734-1829, was a pure aristocrat with a rich interest in animals. He was convinced that the characteristics of animals and plants could develop to cope with changing surroundings and were then passed on to their offspring. Nowadays, many of Lamarck's ideas are thought to be incorrect. He was the first to suggest that animals could evolve and pass these changes on to the next generation. theory, along with the books published by Charles Lyell, paved the way for the theory that was dead right. In 1859, Charles Darwin, 1809-1882, published On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection. It was a big title, but then it contained a very big idea. Based on his observations of animals and plants, Darwin's theory rested on three main points. Point 1, natural selection. Darwin realized that nature is a fairly nasty business, a case of eat or be eaten, and that only the cleverest or fastest animals were those best suited to their natural conditions have been able to survive. Point 2, the same but different. Darwin noticed that the animals of other species were born with characteristics that gave them a better chance of survival. So, for example, animals with good camouflage had been able to survive predators better than those without it. Point 3, lots of babies. The animals best able to survive were more likely to leave the most offspring. Point 4, revolution. Each generation, therefore, includes increasingly better adapted animals. Darwin's ideas explained why some animals changed their appearance over time, while those that hadn't evolved as successfully died out. Darwin's theory was so revolutionary, rather than evolutionary, that it took him not one, not two, but 20 years to publish it. It caused a huge uproar at the time, and some people still remain unconvinced today. However, his theory is important to the study of dinosaurs. When they were first discovered, most people accepted the church's explanation that dinosaurs were giant monsters which lived before the flood. After the work of Darwin and other early scientists, though, paleontologists began to study dinosaur remains scientifically. Nowadays, they believe that dinosaurs evolved during the time they ruled the Earth, and think that by studying modern animals, they can work out how dinosaurs once lived. Fascinating. You might suppose that after early disagreements, scientists would have become fed up with arguing with each other, but you'd be dead wrong. You'll soon discover that the arguments that started after Dr. Mantle's discovery are still going strong, and that dinosaurs are continuing to drive paleontologists' party. Dinosaur times. Dinosaurs roamed the Earth such a long time ago that one of the hardest things about them is imagining when they were alive. Try to think of something that happened ages ago, like the last time you got a pocket money rise. If that was 2 years ago, triple the time, multiply it by 1,000, double it
once more, and you'll still be way short of the mark. In fact, the first dinosaurs evolved about 235 million years ago, and they survived for about 180 million years before suddenly dying out about 65 million years ago. Think of it this way. If the time that's passed since life began on Earth were compressed into a one-year diary, then life started on January 1st, and the dinosaurs appeared on the 5th of December before becoming extinct around December 24th. Humankind arrived late in the final minutes of December the 31st. Life on Earth is a year. Project. Maybe December. It's probably not. During the millions of years that the dinosaurs lived, the geography, the weather, and the plants on Earth changed, while many different kinds of dinosaurs evolved, became extinct, and were replaced by newer species. Paleontologists can't give exact dates for when things happened, but the following pages give you an idea of what would have been hitting the headlines in dinosaur times. Triassic times.
Date, 235, 280 million years ago. A new age dawns. Welcome to the Triassic period and the dawn of what's certain to be a fascinating age. We predict big things for the dinosaurs. They're about to arrive and take over from earlier species. Births and deaths. Early Triassic. Bad news as we say farewell to the therapsids. Sadly, these hairy mammal-like reptiles have now died out. The good news is that we welcome to the archosaurs, a group of small lizard-like reptiles. Profile, Lagosuchus. Name Lagosuchus, a fairly typical early member of the archosaur family. Size, 30 centimeters long. Favorite activity, hunting. Favorite food, insects and grubs. Features, Lagosuchus boasts sharp teeth, long legs, and a slender body, which is ideal for speedy hunting. Mid-Triassic. It's time to say goodbye to the early archosaurs, but welcome to a new kind of animal, the dinosaurs. Most of these early dinosaurs are predators. Yummy! Late Triassic. Welcome to the first kinds of herbivore or plant-eating dinosaur, closely followed by Profile, Eoraptor. Name, Eoraptor, one of the earliest dinosaurs yet discovered. Size, 1 meter long. Hobby, hunting. Favorite food, small reptiles. Features, Eoraptor claims to be an improved version of Lagosuchus. It is bigger and faster with larger claws and teeth. Profile, Ankylosaurus. Name, Ankylosaurus, an early plant-eating dinosaur. Size, 2.5 meters long. Favorite food, plants. Features, Ankylosaurus is particularly proud of its long neck. It also has strong arms with big curved thumb claws, which are ideal for harvesting food from trees and bushes. Triassic trends. The bigger the better seems to be the dinosaurs' motto. We've noticed a continuing increase in their size the day above, and this trend shows no sign of slowing down. Weather report. The climate is generally warm and mild everywhere. Showers can be expected in coastal areas as winds pick up water from the seas, while inland areas will become hot and desert-like. Travel corner. Roaming around remains easy for other dinosaurs, as at this time Earth has only one landmass. Editor's note, the supercontinent was later called Pangaea, meaning Isle Earth by paleontologists. Travel tip, avoid the hot spots. Following the disappearance of numerous species, we have advise that other dinosaurs should avoid traveling across the latest travel hotspots, the huge desert regions of Pangaea. Although no one knows exactly what happened to the missing animals, editor's note, their bones were discovered in twisted positions by paleontologists, drought and sudden sandstorms may well turn out to have killed them. What I'd give for a decent duffel coat.
Nature News. We're delighted to introduce a new section to the paper. For all nature lovers, here's a picture showing a typical Triassic scene, with ferns growing beside lakes and streams, while monkey, puzzled trees, and other tall conifers thrive on drier land. Competition corner. Why not enter our fun competition? Can you match the names of some of the other animals around during the Triassic period to their pictures? Jurassic times. Date, 201-35 million years ago. Dinosaurs rule the Earth. Yes, it's official. Throughout the Jurassic period, dinosaurs have become the most dominant group of animals on Earth. They've adapted to some of the changes in weather and geography better than any other group, and there are now more kinds of dinosaurs than ever before. Can this success story continue? Watch this space. Births and deaths. Early Jurassic. It's goodbye to the earliest mad plant-eating dinosaurs, but let's say hello to the first large sauropods. We'd also like to welcome some new evolutionary arrivals in the shape of plesiosaurs and other small two-legged dinosaurs with bird-like feet. Middle Jurassic. We previously welcomed some large plant-eaters, and now it's the turn of the larger meat-eating members of the theropod family to appear. Hello there. Late Jurassic. Welcome to some even bigger plant-eaters. When Diplodocus becomes extinct, its place is taken by even larger animals. It's also time to greet the first stegosaurus.